Welcome back. Great to have you company wherever you might be. Always a pleasure to have a chat to Campbell Brown, former superstar, part of SEN Track, of course, as well, and part of Tools Down. And on Tools Down, due to Stage 4 restrictions, they're currently in a little bit of a hiatus, but you can still join Good Work, the network built for tradies. It's where tradies go to find tradies, so you can still jump on Good Work. And Tools Down is just Tools Down for now, but Campbell Brown will be back with it very shortly, and he's about to join SEN Track for the afternoon. Welcome to you, Brownie. Great to have you back on.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you, mate? You going well?
I'm damn good. I've got plenty of footy to watch, so I'm excited about that. And last night was good. It was a really good double header. Might start with Collingwood with you. What did you make of Collingwood? And do you think that the Dacos goal, Josh Dacos goal, is the goal of the year so far?
Oh, it was right up there, wasn't it? If you take circumstance and what was on the line into account, which I think you need to do. Reminiscent of his old man, wasn't it? So he made a real stamp last night. And look, Collingwood were a bit scrappy, but it was just a win that they had to have. And always extremely difficult when you lose a player to injury, let alone three. They were running on empty towards the end and they just found a way to win.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for Collingwood now. Adam Treloar injured, Will Hoskin-Elliott. Isaac Quayne is going to be out, you would think, for at least a couple of weeks while that heals. Jeremy Howe, Jordan DeGoey, Scott Pendlebury. So if they get them all back, they're going to be, you know, a pretty big contender. But they've just got to make sure that they have as many fit soldiers come the finals, because they will make finals at least.
Yeah, they should do. And if they can time their injury run like Richmond have the last few seasons and get their good players back with enough time to sort of get some match fitness and gel again, then there'll be a huge chance, because their form early in the year was, you know, as good as any in the competition. And I think sides this year are always going to hit those little flat patches, especially this season with travel and injury and the like. So they just need to win enough games.
And they'll beat Adelaide. I mean, it doesn't matter. The injuries they've got won't stop them from beating Adelaide next game. So they've got that one coming. It's probably coming a good time for them. What did you make of the Saints last night? I know you're a bit of a Suns man, so you would have been devastated that they got beaten, but the Saints looked like they're a contender.
Yeah, they certainly do. I've sort of been loving the evolution of the Saints the last few seasons, and I think it's got everything to do with just really good list management decisions. You know, there were eight players playing last night from other clubs. You know, Dean Kent's back playing an important role. Butler was absolutely superb. You know, Howard and Jack Steele and Ryder, all those guys just add experience. Then you add, you know, the three mature age recruits that they've picked up over the last few years in Nick Hines, Marshall, who's, you know, doing a great job as a ruckman, and Wilkie, plus just your recruiting of Caulfield and, you know, Billings and all these guys throughout the last few seasons. I reckon they've just done an outstanding job across the board to build a side that has really now put themselves in a window where, you know, they can challenge not just this year, but for the next four or five seasons, because I just see this list staying together and continuing to improve.
How much is the coach to do with that? It seems like Brett Ratton is made some mistakes at Carlton and had a 50% win-loss ratio at Carlton. So it's not like he did badly. It's just that he didn't do well enough to keep his job, according to those who were in control of Carlton at the time. But he seems to be fairly calm and poised. You know what he's like. He's a nice bloke. He likes being your friend, but he also likes coaching. So he's got that good mix that the players would probably enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you can have the best players of all time, the best cattle, but if you don't have the right person coaching them to their strengths and getting the best out of them, well, you'll never succeed. So it's a combination of both. You need to have the on-field talent, which they're certainly building towards, and you need the coach there with the right structure and game plan and just the right interactions with the playing group. So, yeah, I think Rats has really brought some energy there, and he's certainly getting the best out of the majority of the group. So they've been the real sort of surprise packet this year. I thought at the start of the season, getting all those guys in the off-season, It might take them a little while just to gel, but they've managed to do that really, really well, and they're all on the same page, and they, more importantly, they're playing the game in the right way. They're exciting. They take the game on. They have a heap of multiple forward options. They don't just rely on Membry or King. You know, they've got plenty of guys bobbing up and kicking goals, and it makes them pretty dangerous.
How do you think they'll go against the Cats? That's who they've got next, St Kilda.
Yeah, it's another challenge, isn't it? I think they'll take it right up to them. You know, they're building in belief each week, and just they're a really good team. They don't just rely on one player. I think Jack Steele's, you know, been unbelievable this season. He's probably, if you ask the Saints people, he's probably been a really good player for a few years, but just underrated outside of the St Kilda fan base. But I reckon this year he's, he definitely would be sitting in All-Australian midfield selection, and he's taken his game to a new level and has hit the scoreboard as well with a couple of goals. You know, most weeks he bobs up and hits the scoreboard as well. So, yeah, they'll be really good against the Cats, and you know, it's probably hard. I'm leaning towards the Cats at this stage, but wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Saints knocked them off.
Tonight's game, who you got in tonight's game? Essendon and the Giants?
You'd think the Giants would win pretty comfortably. The wheels have fallen off Essendon the last few weeks. They were competitive last week for about a quarter, and that was about it before the Lions just really ran away with it. So, yeah, I think this would be could be a bit of a blowout tonight, even though the Giants have got their own injury concerns with Toby Green and a few going out of that side. I think their midfield depth is just too strong.
And I want to take you a little forward if I can, Campbell, because these games are coming in a really big rush. There's a couple of huge games coming up when the fixture starts for next round, which is essentially this coming round. Port Adelaide and Richmond is the Saturday game coming up. It's round 11 start, and it couldn't start with a better game than that.
Yeah, that's going to be an absolute beauty, isn't it? Loving Port Adelaide as well. Them and St Kilda have just been, you know, real standouts this season. But every time sort of Richmond have gone in as underdogs the last couple of weeks, they've been really impressive. It was good to see Riewoldt and Lynch finally both of them put it together last week with Riewoldt obviously kicking more goals than Tommy. But they, for the first time this year, they looked like they were really in sync. And Noah Bolter's stepped up this year for the Tigers. Shea Bolton through the middle of the ground's been a revelation. And, you know, some of their younger guys have just been absolutely sensational. So, Port Adelaide as well, they're the ones that have just been really good across the board. I did my mid-year All-Australian team this year and copped a bit of criticism for not having any of the Port players down back because they've been the best defence in the competition. But I know that Jonas and Darcy Burns-Jones are having great seasons, but I think it's just been the collective team defence that has been so good. I think Trent McKenzie adds plenty to that back line. And they've just been really, really outstanding. And when big Charlie Dixon's taking strong contested marks like he does, they're a pretty hard side to match up on.
Is he your All-Australian full forward, Charlie, at this point?
Yeah, I had him at centre-half forward because I put Josh Kennedy full forward. But, yeah, big Charlie was centre-half forward and big Tom Hawkins was stiff to miss out because of what he brings to the table in terms of goal assists. But they're the two standouts at the moment, I think, Charlie and Josh Kennedy, who, in saying that, had a pretty lean first month of the season, but his return to form has just been nothing short of sensational.
So that's tomorrow's day game. There's one other game tomorrow. It's tomorrow night's game. Brisbane and the Western Bulldogs is at the Gabba. How are the Dogs travelling, do you think?
Oh, they're going okay. I still think they overpossess the footy a little bit. They were right in the Port Adelaide game last, it was Monday night now, but just weren't quite polished going forward. They missed Big Norton or a big, powerful forward because Josh Bruce is woefully out of form. He had that one game where he kicked six and was best on ground, but hasn't had a kick the last few weeks. So their most dangerous forward at the moment is Mitch Wallace. And as good a job as he's doing, you know, with all due respect to Mitch, he shouldn't be the most dangerous forward on the ground for the Western Bulldogs. So they need to work that out. Quick, smart to be competitive. Because their midfield, you know, solid. Their defence is solid. Crozier's having a great year down back. And Easton Wood and Caleb Daniel, they've got a pretty good mix of offence and defence. But their forward line's just not clicking this season at all.
Blues, any chance against the West Coast over there?
You wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so. The Eagles are just starting to find form, aren't they? And the Blues would be pretty disappointed with what they dished up last week. But they need to find whatever went wrong in that second half against the Hawks and work out what it was. But you wouldn't think they'd be competitive against the Eagles.
And in some ways, it's a bit of an early elimination final. Melbourne and North Melbourne, the late Sunday game.
Yeah, it is. Melbourne won. They did what they should have done. It wasn't a great win. They were, you know, getting really challenged up until about three-quarter time by the worst side in the competition. So if you're a Melbourne supporter or player, you can't be happy with just getting the 4 points because they did what they should have done. Clayton Oliver was absolutely outstanding. And North Melbourne, well, they'll be competitive because they always are. So I wouldn't say the pressure's off the Melbourne Footy Club because you don't really get a pass mark for beating a side that's undefeated or hasn't won a game straight away. But there were some better signs there for the Melbourne Footy Club. But they've got some big decisions to make in terms of their midfield, whether they can go forward, not just this year, but into the future and be successful with the midfield that they've got.
And you're more recently retired than I. Do players still know, do you think, that metal studs, you're not allowed to wear them? Or do you, because it was known by people in my day.
Yeah, no, well, back when I first started, Dwayne, I don't know if with you, the umpires still used to come in the rooms and shake your hand and just check your studs and things like that. So I don't think that happens anymore. But,
no.
Yeah, we all knew you couldn't wear metal studs and... You feel a bit sorry for Paul Quainer because that was that looked horrendous. Mind you, he must be a tough bugger because he was on the field. He wasn't showing any pain whatsoever.
No. That was amazing. That's why it was hard. We're trying to work out what was wrong because it couldn't have been a broken leg. He was just sitting there having a bit of a laugh about it at one stage. And yeah, it was horrible. It was weird. Let's hope he wasn't wearing metal studs. Of course, they're investigating that as we speak. And when's your book come out, Campbell? Because we've seen the Prince Harry chapter. I know you got about 40 or 50 of those chapters. So when's the rest come out?
Well, I can't publish the rest of them, mate. Most of the stories can never see the light of day, unfortunately. But the Prince Harry one was, that was a bit of fun. My favourite haunt, as you know, Las Vegas, and plenty of fun stuff happens over there.
Yeah, normally what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but if it doesn't involve another teammate that you're not unearthing any secrets on, then it's not so bad. It's only Prince Harry. Has that story got any traction?
I don't reckon Meghan Markle would let him go back to Vegas, Dwayne, do you?
Who, what was that?
I said, I don't reckon Meghan Markle would let him go back to Vegas. She seems like she wears the pants in that relationship.
I'm not weighing in. You're already a newsmaker in the UK at the moment, aren't you? They picked up your story?
They picked up the story when I interviewed Tom Jones that year, and he said in his thick Welsh accent, "Thank you very much," and it sounded like he said, "Thanks, dickhead," like that, and caused a bit of a stir. So who knows what the media pick up these days, but always seem to find trouble.
And you didn't mind the odd occasional taunt? Where are you with verbal taunting and the physical taunting? I'm not so bad with the verbal taunting. I think if you want to do that, if that's part of your nature and you want to show that part of you, I'm happy with it. I don't like the slaps to the head or the ruffle of the hair. I don't like that too much. But where are you with it? Because you were a bit of a taunter occasionally.
Oh, yeah. Look, we're all competitive. We go out there to win games of footy. And if you can get an edge by sort of taunting someone, go, by all means. I think we just get a little bit precious in today's media. You know, they've got a lot of former players talking about what's a good and bad look for the game when they did plenty of it themselves. And if you rub a bloke's head, well, who cares? You're not hurting him. Is it being a bit disrespectful? Yes, it is. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not that big a deal. You know, certainly the Tom Lynch sort of, you know, pushing his head into the ground, he deserved to cop a fine, no more than that. I think talk of suspension was over the top. And, you know, we just got to remember, it's still a really tough competitive environment. When you're out there competing, you don't really necessarily think about what's good for the game and what's not. You just, you're caught in the moment and you get dealt with afterwards by the Carlisle staff, the Tom Lynch staff. But we still like a little bit of niggle and engagement. Certainly, that's what the fans like anyway. And I'm a fan, and we can't become too vanilla and boring in this sport, because in the end of the day, it's there to evoke emotion and passion, and the players play with all that and they try and win.
So you don't think it was that bad what Carlisle did?
No, I think what he did was wrong, but we always talk about, you know, Tommy Lynch, what he did was a bad look for the game and it's poor, and Carlisle, and they cop their fines for it. So, you know, that's deemed inappropriate. But pushing a bloke, you know, roughing their hair, sledging, you know, it's part of the game. I don't even want to see it gone, because it's what creates a bit of emotion amongst the players and amongst the supporters as well. And we don't want robots. We don't want perfect footballers out there. We need, you know, a little bit of fun. We need characters. And sometimes that means overstepping the rules. So be it. But I do know that there's a lot of former players that did a lot of stuff that all of a sudden, when they become media people, talk about what's good for the game and forget about what they've done in the past, which is pretty hypocritical.
Yeah, I'm probably one of those. I hated the hair ruffle, though. Someone did that to me. It sort of, the red mist dropped in front of my eyes. I absolutely hated that one. So that's one of those that you could have punched me in the back of the head. That was okay. But ruffle my hair? No, I'm not taking that. I hate that. Great to have you, Campbell. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, mate. Good on you.
Campbell Brown. You'll hear him on SEN and SEN Track. Great to have him with us. And you'll also hear him on Tools Down once Stage 4 restrictions are gone. You can still join Good Work, the network built for tradies. It's where tradies go to find tradies. A break. A couple of your calls next.